On the block, on demand.
Without Jerry McIntyre, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
2 seconds and one. It's 10 wins in a row for the Crunch.
It's the biggest upset in the Carrier Dome in more than 30 years as the Orange hold off the defending national champions. They beat Clemson.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
McCoy in the backfield takes the handoff, runs up the middle, breaks a tackle. He's inside the 10, cuts to the left, into the end zone. Buffalo wins.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Somebody in Vegas told them they were going to win by 20.
Gotta look at the positive side of things once in a while instead of the negative all the time.
This is On the Block.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1. ESPN Radio Utica Rome. Now heard on 96.5 FM. What's happening, Mohawk Valley? You just heard Seth during the update. Another Planet Fitness Galaxy Cup game tonight. Comets and Crunch, this time in Utica. You can hear right here on ESPN Radio Syracuse, or if you are in Utica, you can hear it over on Brostat K-Rock. What's happening, everybody? You ready to do this thing? You ready to get in touch? Fire off the hot takes at us?
That's hot.
We're ready. Bring it. 437-7644. That is the phone number. You can always use the Twitter, Brent Axe Media, Brent Axe Media on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, we were trying to figure this out before the show. For those of us that don't speak millennial or don't speak emoji, so I tweeted a profile I did of Syracuse women's basketball star, Tiana Mangakaihia, which I hope you can watch. It's on my Twitter feed. It's on Syracuse.com. Please check that out. So somebody retweeted it, and they put three emojis above it, and it's the emoji of somebody who's, like, really cold. And I'm trying to figure out why this, and I'm going to respond to this person individually, but I'm like, why, what's with the ice? Is this like some hip thing millennials tweet and I'm not aware of it? Is she saying my take that Tiana could be the best player at Syracuse is a cold take? Is it because it's cold in Syracuse? Like, sometimes words help. You can't just do everything with emojis. So somebody help Grandpa figure that one out. In any case, you can tweet me emojis and other things. At Brent Axe Media. The text line to get in touch is 288-0644. Great to have you along for the ride today. If you're listening on the radio, that's great. But listen, you can listen on the ESPN app. You have the ESPN app, you find the Listen tab, you find ESPN Syracuse, off you go. You can listen on Alexa. Do you know that you can enable your ESPN Syracuse skill and then tell Alexa to listen to ESPN Syracuse? You can do that. We have a podcast that we put up Monday through Friday in iTunes. Subscribe to ESPN Syracuse so you can listen to the show on demand. Lots of great ways to take in the show live or later. Your choice. This is America, darn it. You can listen whenever you want. We're going to talk some Syracuse basketball today as the dust settles from that big win over Duke, and they look ahead to Pittsburgh, and whether this will be a rather giant blip on the radar screen or if it will be something that, is, in essence, resets the season for Syracuse. The football schedule is out, and it's a doozy, and the big one is there. Uncle Brent got his wish. Now, it's not confirmed, of course. We will not know this for a few months. But it is set up for something that we have been waiting a long time for in Syracuse, New York. We will get to that coming up, break it down, get those early Syracuse football predictions in there because, you know, nothing holds more water than a football prediction on January 16th. But listen, I don't think the expectations on this team are going to change much between now and the start of preseason camp, short of, you know, some major injury or something that can shake the context of the team. But got some football to chew on. We'll go on the blind side. Thanks to our friends at Burdick Toyota. We'll give you hot takes. Thanks to our friends at the Press Room Pub. Oh, we got a lot to do and we hope you join us to do it. I do want to start with some football. Let's dig in, man. That football schedule is really interesting. And one thing with Syracuse coming off the amazing season, first 10-win season since 2001, finishing the top 15 of the AP poll, the big win over West Virginia in the Camping World Bowl, all the boxes that you checked from last year. One thing that people that were looking over the horizon when the season ended, and you start to think about next year, and can Dino Babers in this program maintain what 2018 built, or is it just going to be kind of a shooting star through the sky? One thing that a lot of you kept coming back to is schedule. The schedule on paper, who they're playing, we didn't know the order. We still don't know game times yet, but now that the schedule has come together, it's really interesting, and I think not only favors Syracuse in a lot of ways in terms of opponent and who they're playing, but the ever-important when they're playing, the bye week structure, the makeup of the teams in terms of new coaches, new quarterbacks, on paper, looks good, and we know that that's why they play the games and all those cliches. But grab your handy-dandy Syracuse football schedule. Keep it close, and let's go through it here because it was just released about past 2 o'clock this afternoon, so we're all thinking 12-0 for 2019, right? Syracuse will start, we knew this, but they will start at Liberty August 31st. Hugh Freeze is the new head coach at Liberty. And look, Liberty is new to the FBS. This should be an easy win for Syracuse, a great way to start the year. You always want, when possible, that one of your first two games to essentially be the preseason game you don't get in college football. Liberty will certainly provide that for the Orange. It's kind of unique to head into the middle of Virginia to start the season. Remember, they'll be renovating the Carrier Dome, so being on the road the first couple of weeks of the season will be a good thing for the Orange. September 7th, they get Maryland. Also a new head coach. Mike Loxley takes over at Maryland. And, of course, they're trying to move past the DJ Durkin disaster from a year ago where you have Jordan McNair, a player, pass away during summer workouts in the clean house at Maryland and just botch that time after time and how it was handled and the reporting on it and how long DJ Durkin held on to his job, and it was just a mess. So they're trying to turn the page from that. Mike Loxley, you'll recall at one point in time, was a very popular pick to come here and take over. There were so many coaching searches at one point. Was that the Marone coaching search? Was that the Greg Robinson coaching search? I mean, it seems like that Mike Loxley name came up a lot. And here he is, fresh off a stint as the offensive coordinator at Bama. He takes over Maryland. They finished 5-7. Last year, which actually was pretty remarkable considering the mess that was happening at that school. Okay, so first two games on the road. Maryland could be a bit of a trap game. You don't want to take it too lightly, but new coach, new situation. But you've got some meat on that bone. Before, here it is, kids. It is all set up. On the list of schools where ESPN's College Game Day still has not set, quite literally, it's set. And think of the places we could put Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit and Reese Davis and Desmond Howard and the crew. What provides the best view of the Carrier Dome in the background with fans and their signs? And finally, the eyes of the college football nation center in on Syracuse, New York, because a game mattered enough. When I was watching the national championship game, and I said this the next, I tweeted it during the game, we talked about it on the show the next day, I said, listen, there's an opening early in the schedule. There's always that ACC window that they keep open in week 2 or week 3 to slip in a conference game before you play a couple more non-conference games and really start to dig in either end of September, early October when conference play starts. I said, I know that Clemson starts against Georgia Tech. That's the first ACC network game. They have Texas A&M early in the schedule. But I said, it sets up nicely that the two best teams in the ACC Atlantic, perhaps the best two teams in the ACC, could meet in the Carrier Dome September 14th, which would give you a good reason, perhaps, provided, pardon me, that Syracuse starts 2-0, that Clemson starts 2-0, to set up a huge early season matchup and come somewhere that they have not. College Game Day has been looking for a reason to come to Syracuse. They want to come to Syracuse. They want to cross off the schools that are on the list of places they have not been, but you can't just show up and do it. Like, you know, you got to go where the big game is or have a good reason to be there. They almost went to Times Square when Syracuse played Notre Dame in New York City. Syracuse has been the featured game on College Game Day, but we're talking like 2001. It was at Miami, and they got smoked that day, 59-0. Bryant McKinney was holding Dwight Freeney all day, but we'll talk about that another time. It is all set up. Now, again, it's on paper. Things don't go according to plan in sports, but Syracuse could do us a favor and go 2-0, and Clemson could do us a favor and go 2-0. It'd be a real good opportunity for game day to set up shop with the defending national champs. Now, it would be nice if they did not do that for Georgia Tech or Texas A&M. I have not cross-referenced other schedules yet as they're all starting to trickle out here, but let's just keep that in mind. Uncle Brent may get his wish, and you may get your wish as a Syracuse football fan to have game day in town. If not, you got Clemson as the home opener. So, you know, forget game day for a moment. The home opener is Clemson. Could we see the first sellout for Syracuse football in a long time? I think we could, and I think we will. You got all summer to hype that baby. Western Michigan comes in the week after that, the Tim Lester Bowl Part 2. They gave Lester a contract extension at Western Michigan. Syracuse opened the season there last year, 55-42 game. Syracuse was cruising. Tommy DeVito comes in. Western Michigan gets back into it. Eric Dungy's got to come in and essence save the day. High scoring. Let's get off the, you know, the mat with a huge, you know, offensive day. We'll see if, you know, the track meet conditions the Carrier Dome provides brings that forth again. So that's September 21st. By the way, Tim Doust will not be returning. Remember, Tim Lester fired Tim Doust as his defensive coordinator. Cannot be easy to do to let go of his friend in that position. But Tim Lester will be back then to get an FCS opponent in week 5. Now, here's where you start to build an advantage if you're Syracuse in terms of the schedule. You get a brand new FBS opponent in week 1. Win. Maryland, don't stub your toe, but let's say 2-0. Clemson obviously could go either way. Syracuse has been very competitive with the Tigers the past couple of years. But if you do lose that game, you've got a certainly winnable game against Western Michigan, then an FCS team, holy cross. So bare minimum, not even do we think about saying anything other than 4-1 to start the season. Ideally 5-0, because you're getting Clemson early, you're getting them off Texas A&M, and we know that Syracuse, of course, has been competitive with them the last 2 years. But 4-1 is where we start this conversation. Bye week, October 5th. Now, here's where things start to get interesting. Out of your bye week, the first of two, Syracuse will play on a Thursday night. So not only do you play Holy Cross bye, but you get a little extra time because you play on Thursday, October 10th, at NC State, an NC State team that loses Ryan Finley, that had Calvin Harmon declare for the NFL draft. They've recruited well there. NC State has been right there with, you know, in the last year, the case of Syracuse and Clemson, but certainly Clemson at the top of the Atlantic Division. But that's a team in transition a little bit there. Can you catch them? But those Thursday night primetime games, I think the name Torrey Holt shoots to mind for a lot of people. Syracuse has played there on a Thursday night a couple of times, and those are tricky games. We haven't seen Syracuse on Thursday night for a while. A lot of Friday night games, which brings us to the next week, Pittsburgh. So you go from a Thursday night game to a Friday night game against the Coastal Division champion, Pittsburgh Panthers, one of three teams that beat Syracuse last year, a little revenge factor in the dome. Pitt finished 7-7. You go to Florida State after that, year two in the Willie Taggart era. Will they have things back on track? Will they have some athletes? DeAndre Francois will be back. Will the, you know, Florida State always recruits well, but they finished 5-7 this year. Did we see the beginnings of a program falling back to mediocrity, or will they have things back on track? Boston College, November 2nd, finished 7-5. A.J. Dillon is back. And weird circumstance for them, they had their bowl game canceled this year. Another bye week. So you go five games with, you know, Holy Cross and Liberty being two of them. Bye week. So you start the season with five. Bye. A four-game set. Bye. On November 9th. Then you finish the year at Duke, and Daniel Jones declared for the draft, so they lost their potential first-round NFL draft quarterback. At Louisville, who has a new coach. So that's three teams you're facing this season that have new head coaches. Finished 2-10 last year. Louisville was a mess. So what are they going to look like towards the end of this upcoming season? We'll see, but certainly a winnable game. And you finish at home against Wake Forest. So we wanted to see how it played out, how they laid it out, where the bye weeks went. The Thursday game, the Friday game are interesting. But that, my friends, is what you call a favorable schedule for Syracuse, to use the old expression, though, on paper. So we'll get your thoughts on the schedule as we dig in. We'll talk some Syracuse hoops as we go along, hot takes, the blind side, and a lot to come here on this Wednesday edition on the block. Let's go to our friend Lee Baldwin, see how things did on the stock market today. Diamonds and Dogs time. Hey, Lee, how you doing?
Hey,
man?
How you doing, Brad?
I am living the dream. It's Wednesday. Getting ready for the – you know what I did today, Lee? Maybe I helped their stock. I bought a snowblower. I gave in. I did it.
That's good forethought, I think.
Yeah.
It's coming, right?
Yeah. I got in before the big storm happened this weekend. But I always felt like I didn't need one. I'll go out there. I'll grab the shovel. I like the shovel. But the last big storm we had a couple months ago, when that snow piles up at the end of your driveway, it's like – you know what? I'm going for the snowblower, man. I'm 40 years old now. I'm old. Give me the snowblower. I'm tired of this.
I bet she's a beauty, too.
Oh, man. I'm not a very mechanical person, so I had to ask the guy a lot of questions, like, how do you start this thing? How do I not, like, you know, don't stick my hand in there and chop it off?
Yeah.
Exactly, right. But, you know, yeah, you do feel very manly when you buy something like that. I have to say, it's like, whoa, horsepower machine. Gas start, self-propel, like all these big manly words that come out.
It's fantastic. You're going to need the big hat, the goggles.
Yeah.
Yeah, all in.
They had the accessories there. I'm like, man, this is like a whole thing. I'm in a whole new world. It's beautiful. good time.
Maybe I should have my Diamond Tractor supplies.
Yeah.
So, now, stocks were, this was not on paper, this was real today. Stocks were up again, so around the 200-point mark for the Dow. So we'll take that. Our diamond for the day, Bank America, up 7%. They had strong earnings this morning. And the dog is, we have to do it again. We've done this one before. Snapchat, down 13%. Their CFO lasted all about 8 months. And he's out.
I guess that's appropriate, because don't Snapchats, like, disappear? Right?
So yeah, the CFO disappeared.
He fizzled away, never to be seen again. There you go. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it, my friend.
Have a great night.
That's Lee Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you stop in. Kaz Utica, have a great conversation with Lee and his staff about your portfolio so you have more diamonds than dogs, and check it all out at LeeBaldwin.com. So we'll continue on the Syracuse football slate. We'll get into some hoops as well and how the Orange can kind of build off of that win on Monday, right? You always move on to the next game. Doesn't guarantee you what happened the game before carries over. Sometimes you don't want that to happen, right? Georgia Tech being an example of that. But this feels like something Syracuse can really build on, and we'll discuss that coming up.
Brent Axe 4-6, ESPN Radio 97.7 and 100.1. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
That it is, my friends. It is presented by ServPro of North and East Onondaga. Welcome back. Let's go to the phone, shall we? 437-7644 to get in touch with Big Show. Steve in North Syracuse on the block with us here. Hey, Steve.
Well, I'm all excited to see the new schedule, because I do think having Clemson in September increases the chance that we're going to get game day, because we're very likely to be undefeated, and they certainly will be, and there's not going to be any blizzard going on. that may have been a factor in why we didn't get him for the Notre Dame game last year, because it was in November in New York. Competitively, I'm concerned for a couple of reasons about the Clemson game, but there's also something good about having it that early. We're having to make some significant changes. We'll have a new quarterback, some reshuffling in the offensive line. We're going to be scraping around for linebackers. And, you know, it may take a while for us to really get going, and playing Clemson early may be a problem there. And, the good part of it, though, I think, is that we've got we don't have the depth they do. And playing them early in the season might help us there, because we won't have the attrition or the fatigue that might come in a later season game. We should be pretty fresh to play them. I'm concerned about Florida State and Louisville coming back. I think it's going to take more than a year for them to come back from the situation they're in. But I remember when we played Willie Taggart at South Florida, they were just about to fire him, because I think his record was like 7-21 at that point. And that was the game that really saved his job got him going, and they were almost unbeatable the rest of his tenure there. And I have a feeling that with Florida State, it's going to be like somebody turned on a light switch and suddenly they're Florida State again. And I'm concerned that, you know, which game is going to be the Pitt game, the game where we think we've got control of it and we lose control of it, and then we have to scratch to try to win it, and we come up short. There's probably going to be some game like that.
Feels like that NC State game on a Thursday night, maybe. You know, Duke or Louisville is better than you think. Those are later in the year. You brought up Florida State. Yeah. That middle stretch there, because you play five, then you get a bye week, then you play four. You got a Thursday night game, a Friday night game, Florida State there, and Boston College, who, you know, is coming off a 7-5 year, will have A.J. Dillon back. Yep. Somewhere in that stretch, it feels like it could be that game. And I think you make a really good point, Steve, about, you know, look, it's exciting to have game day and everything, but DeVito will be taking over with a reshuffled offensive line. Could be really hot in the dome for that game. It's one of those early season games, right, with, you know, 49,000 people in there. Got to think about that. But just the thought that ESPN has kind of banked that away. They scheduled it early just for that possibility. I haven't gone through all the schedules with a fine-tooth comb. We did have somebody text and say that Iowa is really the other game that would, you know, ESPN maybe would think about that week. So it's all set up, but you got to take care of business in those first 2 weeks. And Clemson's got Texas A&M early before they play Syracuse as well.
I have a feeling that their guest picker might just be our basketball coach, and that would be an interesting segment.
It's a stone-cold lock, I think.
And it is interesting to speculate where they'll put it. The logical thing is probably in that plaza in front of the old library there. But it would be interesting. It might be too congested, but it'd be interesting if they set up in front of the Ernie Davis statue, you know, just in front of the building there, behind the statue, because that would be a nice shot of the Ernie Davis statue in front of them.
Oh, sure would.
Then there they are. But I'll bet they'll be in the plaza.
And you got to have the dome in the background somewhere. It'll be. And thanks for the call, as always, Steve. It'll be interesting because the dome will be, you know, stage one of renovations will be underway. Now, unfortunately, the air conditioning will not be ready for the Clemson game. But that's your home opener. I mean, you're coming out of the gate. That's one of the great home openers in Carrier Dome history. The defending national champions. Hopefully both teams are 2-0. And college game day. I mean, it's all set up there, kids. You got to beat Maryland. I mean, that's the proverbial trap game. And if Tommy DeVito hasn't adjusted yet, you get that Liberty game to get essentially the college football version of a preseason game. But Clemson, everyone's back. Trevor Lawrence is back. Everybody of significance. Justin Ross, the wide receiver who killed it in the national title game. They're losing that entire defensive line that all came back to win the title as they did. But this is Clemson. You're just going to put out, you know, the next stock of five-star players and backups that were there getting ready for this. I mean, Clemson is going to be, they don't lose much. If anything, it's what they've gained. It's Trevor Lawrence in a second year. It's, you know, Clemson has temporarily brushed aside Bama as the program. I mean, they straight up just boat raced them in the national championship over time, over, you know, a broader perspective. Of course, it's Bama. But in the right here, right now, you know, Clemson is it. And the fact that they are going to open things up. And here's the thing. There have been big games at the Dome, home openers or not, in recent years. But how many of those games did you really feel like Syracuse would be competitive? LSU, when Notre Dame came, and Syracuse beat Notre Dame in 2003, but Penn State in 2008. Like, we're talking like big-time college football programs coming to the Dome non-conference-wise. To come into that game against Clemson, not only a huge game in and of itself, that's a conference opener, important conference game, but to have the confidence that you can hang with that team. Now, how long is that streak going to continue? Look, this is Clemson. The fact that you beat them and then hung in it. I want to see Syracuse play Clemson when the starting quarterback doesn't go down. And that's not to take anything away from Syracuse, but, I mean, Trevor Lawrence looks like, I mean, he could play in the NFL right now. I'd actually like to see him play a four-quarter game. And I know that sounds crazy for me to say, but you want to eliminate excuses, right? And it keeps, I keep coming across this, I'm sure some of you are doing it as well, that Syracuse beat Duke Monday night, but they didn't have Trey Jones and they didn't have Cam Reddish. And like, I understand that, but it's Duke, okay? And Trey Jones, as well as he defended even before he left that game, he had four steals in like 6 minutes before he left. He can only guard one person at a time. You had Tyus Battle, Pascal Chukwu, Frank Howard, Elijah Hughes. All went off in that game. Now, we can woulda, coulda, shoulda to death. That's what happens when you spring an upset. Something has to go wrong on the other side most of the time. And from a football standpoint, look, Travis Etienne was the guy for Clemson this year. So whether Trevor Lawrence was in that game or not, remember, that was his first start. That was not the Trevor Lawrence that went out and smoked Alabama. That was his first collegiate start. They were in transition. Kelly Bryant announced he was leaving the program. Like, they were in kind of a funky state that week. And it led to Dabo Swinney saying, and I remember reading the quotes and writing about it after the game, and, you know, obviously you guys saw it at his press conference afterwards, but he said it's one of the most significant wins he's had as a head coach there. And it was that fourth, they're a fourth down play away. But that was Trevor Lawrence's first game. So even if he had played in that game, it was the Travis Etienne game in the fourth quarter. They just couldn't stop him. Whether it's the starting quarterbacks there, what happened against Duke, I mean, look, you need a little luck on your side to win these games. You need those kind of circumstances. And we'll find out, because Duke's coming back on February 23rd. I am not a doctor, but if Trey Jones and his shoulder injury heals on pace, and we, you know, early indications are it's not a collarbone, which is good news. So it's just a matter of a player getting back into rhythm. Can he follow through on a shot? Can he do all the things you have to with a sore shoulder? Cam Reddish was just an illness. We would, you know, assume he'll be back for that game. Okay, straight up, 35,000 people, Carrier Dome. Speaking of game day, that's a virtual lock at this point, provided Syracuse doesn't completely fall off the map. That's going to be the basketball version of game day. They're at a Duke game this weekend. They're at Duke, Virginia, coming up this weekend. But, you know, come on. You don't think they'll do two Duke games in a college game day run? It's almost, I think it's required. I think it's in the contract they have to do that. 437-7644, Brent Axe Media on Twitter. The text line is 288-0644. From the On the Block text line, Eric Dungy won some close games with heart and tough runs in the clutch. Will DeVito win games with his legs and his heart? No, he's going to win games with his arm. I'm not saying DeVito doesn't have the competitiveness, the heart, all the intangibles that Dungy has. He does not have the run game that Dungy does. He can run. I mean, he's got mobility. But, I mean, that was an asset. That was a strength. You built that in. I'd be very curious to see how they build the offense around Tommy DeVito, because I don't think you can build in running plays. You have to in college football these days, but he has. I want to be fair about this. I don't want to make it sound like he's Tom Brady slow. He can move, but Eric Dungy was a special talent there. You get spoiled watching a play like that. Like, yeah, every quarterback can run like that. Well, no. Good question, though, because how many games did Dungy win with just sheer desire? Tommy had as good of a you know, for lack of a better term, an internship as you could have, right? He had a great mentor in Eric. He got time. It's really important to know what it's like to step on a college football field and know how to play the game. That's why I love the new transfer rule, that you can play out the four games before you lose your red shirt. That's a great point that Steve brought up. It's something to think about with football in the air today with the schedule coming out. You got Clemson in week three. What an early test that's going to be in the Tommy DeVito era at Syracuse. We'll break on that note. We've got some hot takes to come. We'll go on the blind side later. We'll continue to talk hoops and break down the football schedule out today. Got a lot to do. You're on the block, ESPN Radio. Back after this.
Thank you. Bye-bye.